Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
During the post game, you hear a number of fine voices, including Andy Baskin and Tyvis Powell. And then at the post game show, you hear Tyvis Powell again. And we're lucky enough that on Mondays at noon, we often hear from the man from the Cleveland Browns radio network. He's Mr. Tyvis Powell, and he joins us right now on the fan hotline. Hello, Tyvis.
Good morning. Good afternoon, I should say. How you guys doing?
We are well. Hey, guess what?
What?
Somebody called in and said how much they enjoy listening to me and Tavis on the Browns postgame show today.
let's add that one to the list.
Tavis.
The mispronunciations of my name.
Yeah, yeah. So Tavis goes along with Titus now and whatever else we want to throw in there. Travis is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
We've had people calling and they're not happy today because it was only the Dolphins. You played in the National Football League. Could you explain how challenging it is to win a football game in the National Football League, regardless of who the opponent is?
Yeah, I mean, that's why you see so many teams losing and not have – everybody would go 17-0 if it was easy, you know. There is no secret recipe. And different weeks calls for different strategies. I'm just glad that was able to figure it out. I know it's not 500 or 500-yard offense, or it's not Andy Reid, and it's not all this creativity. And one, it's hard to do all that in the conditions that it was in. That's first off. Secondly, I was just happy the Browns decided to do what they needed to do to win the game, to win. I mean, isn't that what the most important thing is, winning the game?
That would be correct.
I think Coach Herman said something like that. Hello, you play to win the game. So, yeah, I think they got that done, and that's the thing that matters the most. Now, we could critique all the other stuff, but I think that different games calls for different things.
Tyvis, I'm sure that, I mean, you notice this as well as anybody else. I thought Grant Delpit had probably one of the best games I've ever seen him play. He was all over the place, and he was making gigantic statement plays yesterday. Just kind of talk about the secondary yesterday in particular, and then the game Delpit had.
Well, Delpit, obviously, we've seen Delpit have moments where he's looked unbelievable. And then, you know, some games he kind of disappears. You know, he said something in the pregame, you know, about how they don't know what winning feels like anymore.
Yep.
And he took that personally. You know, this is one of those ones that I think everybody looked at each other and said, we have to get this one. Like, this is the crossroads of this season, whether or not we're going to give up on it or not. And I think these guys did a wonderful job of responding. And you talk about the rest of those guys in the secondary, you get three picks. You know, that right there, a pick always changes the momentum. It changes the game. Your first one, I think, goes for a pick six. Like, that's directly putting points on the board. You know, we've been challenging this defense. How can they do more? And you started off, you get a pick six. Like, that's okay. There we go. That's something that we haven't done this season. And then it got contagious to where everybody started to contribute. Got two other guys that come in and get a pick. Jeff knows how I feel about Rayshon Jenkins because it should have been two pick sixes. But, you know, I guess we'll take it at the 2-yard line so the offense can finish it off.
That was fun to watch you yesterday with that. Does this defense have an identity in your mind?
I think so. I think that they are fast, aggressive defense. You know, when they are into it and the offense is giving them some light, like, they play defense so well. Like, it's no weak links on that defense when everybody is, like, bought in. And it really starts with the offense. The offense got to continue to find ways to put points on their board to keep that defense motivated because they want to make those plays. And for the most part, every game they start off playing at a high level. And, you know, as the game goes down and they keep getting out on that field, they start to wear down. And teams were figuring that out. Pittsburgh certainly figured that out. So it was nice to see that offense give them that spark and be like, okay, we scoring today, so let's get the ball back. And now you're starting to get them, you motivate them to get you the ball back and get three and outs and things like that. So that's the, again, everybody talks about complementary football. I guess that's been like the motto of this year, play complementary football. And like yesterday was the perfect example of what it can look like.
You know, you said something to me a couple of weeks ago when we were getting ready to do a postgame show. And I was asking you about the defense, and we were discussing a few things, and you said, all right, well, if you don't like the lack of points, then go score some defensive touchdowns. And I thought, and I even said, I said, well, that's easier said than done, isn't it? And you said, yeah, but if you want to become a great defense, you've got to become the type that gets the ball, that turns it into points. And that was on display yesterday. I wonder, do you think this team has the type of ability that they can become that upper echelon defense, not just a good defense, but a great defense?
They definitely got all the pieces, I would say. You know, I think that getting Tyson Campbell, if he continues to play at the level that he's playing, he could be the final piece. You think about 2 years ago when this defense was rocking, you know, when they had the number one defense in the NFL. It started with, because the secondary was playing that well and that pass rush was getting home. You know, a lot of people were blaming on the fact that they didn't play a lot of good quarterbacks. Whatever. If you want to say that, whatever. But at the end of the day, the fact of the matter is the guys in the back end covered so well that that pass rush was able to get home a lot of the times. And right now, that pass, though, I think those front four, including Alex Wright or Isaiah McGuire, they do a really good job of getting to that quarterback. Now, the thing was, how is it that we're going to stop Miami, because Miami gets the ball out fast? Well, the way to do that is to throw the timing off of routes. Get up in these receivers' face, press them up at the line, jam them up, and that buys that pass rush an extra second. And I think that's exactly what happened. You know, that D-line was getting there so fast. I remember it was a play where they tried to throw a screen play. I think Dale Pitt might have been the one that hit it. It almost looked like it was a fumble. So they getting home. This D-line and the pass rush and the guys that's blitzing, they're getting home really, really fast. And if you can continue to do that, yes, this defense will be special, because what they're going to do is make that quarterback throw that ball either a second too early or a second too late, and that allows that defensive back to make plays on the ball.
Where we go from here with this team? I got to believe they feel some good energy. They've got to be saying to themselves, look, we got one more game and then we got the break. And I know you can't think about who else is on your schedule, but I would think they'd be highly, highly motivated for next week. Like, especially with the win kind of taking the pressure off. No one's talking about Kevin getting fired today. You know what I'm saying? So maybe for one day they take a deep breath, but they to realize how important this game could be against New England.
Yeah, I think that what this win has done is it's brought life back into the program. You look around, it makes you look at the AFC North. You know, for a while, nobody even wanted to bring that up. But you look at that AFC North and you see Cincinnati, what are they, 3-4? You 2-5. Okay, that's one game out. We can catch them. And then you look at the Pittsburgh. Okay, they 4-2, but they look wounded. It looked like they might not be who you thought they were. So it inspires you. It's like, all right, we get this game against the Patriots. We're going to go to the bye, hit the reset button, catch our breath. Guys are going to get healthy. Maybe Mike Hall comes back, so that gives you another pass rusher. Okay, we come out of the break. We got the Jets. All right, that's a very winnable game. Now, look, before you know it, we back in this thing. Come on. Gerard said it only take 9 to get to win the division. Come on now. It's right there. So it just gives you that win gave you that type of motivation. It's going to be very interesting to see what they do against New England next week.
Tyvus Powell joining us from the Browns Radio Network. Andy and I were kicking this around a little bit ago. Dylan Gabriel's made 3 starts. I don't have a real good feeling for him yet. Well, you look at things differently than we do, having played in the league. What have you thought of Dylan through 3 starts?
You know, Dylan comes off to me as a right now, the way he's playing, I understand that he could, why people see him as a career backup quarterback. And I, that's no disrespect to him, but I like right now with the talent that's given around him, I understand why they see that at worst. So I think when you go in these draft process, you got to prepare for the worst. And the worst is, if he doesn't pan out, at least you got you a backup quarterback. He can definitely come in and do that. I mean, the way he can come in there, command that offense, get everybody in the right places, deliver the ball, protect the football. You know, that to me, he's obviously, it's not nothing elite about him. Maybe mentally it might be, but as far as the physical traits goes, there's nothing elite about him. And I think that that's something that might come back to haunt him in later on. So I understand why people are frustrated and why I see understand some people want to see, you know, Shador in there. I still think Shador got some things he's got to work on, though, before he's able to get in there. But I understand why people's like, all right. But the thing, what makes it so bad is that we can't ignore the fact that Dylan also don't have an elite supporting cast. It's not like he's got this big-time receiver that's out there making plays. You know, it's not like he's got the Ja'Marr Chase or T. Higgins. Granted, even if Shador was on this roster or any quarterback was on this roster, they wouldn't have that either. But I don't know. It's just when you look at Dylan, I haven't seen that real splash yet. It hasn't been that moment where I was like, okay, this guy is elite. Like, I haven't had that thought in my head yet. And when you look at the rest of these rookies that's played, you can say that thing like, okay, yeah, I see that he's got that elite trait to him. I haven't said that with Dylan yet.
Is that because Kevin's trying to ease him into this thing? You know, no turnovers through three games should be an elite stat. It's not something that doesn't jump off the page while you're watching the game.
Yeah, no, I think that's great and all, but it's also been opportunities where, you know, the passes, there hasn't even been a pass where it's like, okay, he zipped this through two defenders or something like that. Like, I haven't seen that. We've seen him on the throws yesterday. I think he underthrew Jerry Jeudy on a route that Jeudy had him beat. He also overthrew Jeudy on the touchdown on a rollout. I still have question marks about him rolling to the right and making plays. I don't think he's really good at that part. So, like, yeah, it's just, you know, like, I'm waiting on that moment. And maybe it comes. Maybe it comes this week against the Patriots. Maybe it is because Kevin is slow walking him. But at some point, I want to be able to look and be like, that guy can be a franchise quarterback. And I don't think nobody's had that thought about him yet.
Last thought, the offensive line yesterday, Dylan wasn't sacked 6 times, but he didn't drop back 52 times. He dropped back 18, was sacked a couple of times. Running the ball was efficient. It wasn't outstanding. How did the line play?
You know, I didn't even notice him.
That's a good thing, isn't it?
That's what you want to walk away from the game saying. Like, I didn't even notice. If anybody played bad, I had no idea. Because it wasn't no sacks given up. It wasn't nobody getting beat immediately. Like, I didn't see any of that. So, you know, well, I'll take that.
Thank you, buddy. We'll see you next week.
And I'll see y'all next week. Go Browns, go Bucks, and go Cavs. We start, what, Wednesday?
Tuesday.
Look at that. Tomorrow.
How about a go Bearcats, too?
Definitely go Bearcats. That's always.
There it is. That's standard. The former Bedford Bearcat, Tyvus Powell, joining us. Thanks, buddy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
And there was a lot of talk about Kevin last week and everything else.
Kind of like being a French fry at a fast food restaurant, man.
Dano?
I just more want to point out how your jaw was completely agaped when he said that.
You get so Jeff, bad. What you see his face? Just, he was like, what?
What do you mean?
That
you,
look of what the
Yeah. Do you end up on the floor? Do you end
up in
a bag? Are you a bonus fry because you fell out of the thing and you're in the bag?
There's no such thing really as a bonus.
Those are the bonus fries.
It's only if you order onion rings. Come on now. No, it's like you're in the fryer, so it's sizzling hot, and then all of a sudden now you're under a heat lamp. I mean, come on. It's hot.
The heat lamps are bad.
Yeah,
they'll wilt in a heartbeat.
I don't know. I don't really cook with heat lamps. As far as you know, what if they were crispy before they got there? The heat lamp keeps them warm. Can't believe this is even a debate.
So what is it?
It's the heat lamp.
They won a game. He's 2-5. Obviously, you're an NFL coach, and you're still 2-5. So
God forbid he goes 3-5, man. People that hate him are going to go crazy.
It's interesting, though. At this point, Kevin's in his sixth year. You wouldn't think that, okay, you're going to learn any big lesson. I think he did after the Pittsburgh game. I think they got rid of the run too quickly against Pittsburgh. Because he said in his postgame comments, you know, well, we weren't running it effectively or something along those lines, so we couldn't do that. So, no, you could do that. That's the thing. You could go run the ball. You just have to stick with it.
Well, that's what we saw yesterday. But, I again, it's out of necessity. Right? It's out of necessity yesterday that he knew he was going to have to go to the run because of the rain. It was coming down in sheets at one
for
point
a while,
before the game.
But not all game.
And by the way, can we give a shout out to the, because it's a shout out Monday, to the grounds crew? I got to tell you, the turf looked amazing yesterday. Like, that's as nice as I've ever seen it look yesterday. And I was, because I think I questioned at one point if they'd put new turf in, because it looked awesome yesterday. But it's what happens when you give it a couple weeks to grow. Can't be anything worse than what Pittsburgh was.
Well, you know how they said they couldn't run the ball against Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
And yesterday, you know, we're all happy with the running game because they committed to it. Yesterday, they averaged 3.2 yards per carry. Against the Steelers, 3.8. So they actually ran it better per carry against Pittsburgh than they did against Miami yesterday. But we were happy because they ran it 33 times.
They were also eating more clock. They were
exactly.
You know, it's an easier game for the offensive linemen.
Without question. You're absolutely right about all that, Andy. But, you know, bottom line is, per carry, you didn't do as well yesterday as you did against Pittsburgh when you decided not to run the ball.
You and your analytics.
Well, no, it's. I'm not saying that that's any huge conclusion, but to say you couldn't run the ball against Pittsburgh really isn't true.
I mean,
chose not to run the ball.
I could go
Pittsburgh.
Butch Davis on you here too, and say if you take away 46 of the yards from Quinshon Judkins, 84.
Yeah, then you averaged about 1.7 yards per carry yesterday.
So, but
that's what happens when you run the ball. If you commit to the run and you have a talented runner like Quinshon, you might bust one, and that's what happened. But oddly enough, they actually had a better per carry average by over a half a yard.
And when your defense is handing you the ball in the red zone and you're able to go in there and score, you're not going to get the yards that you wanted either. So,
well, but, you know.
Be nice if they could hand the ball in the red zone. I really felt like the defense yesterday said enough is enough. We're taking over now, boys. We thought we did our part before. Now we're going to do even more. It was great to see the three interceptions. Finally, yesterday, it was like they broke through a wall. Oh, man. It took forever to get to that yesterday, and then all of a sudden you're like, yes, yes. And then you come back second half, you're like, wow, man, this is great.
Well, when your defense can put enough pressure on the opposing offense, it leads to turnovers.
Oh, they were a mess.
Yep. Coach Berger is in Cleveland. Hello, Coach.
Coach.
What's up, guys?
How are you?
Oh, man, I'm excited. Hold on, let me get my phone. I'm excited. I don't care if we beat ITT Tech or Tri-C. I'm just happy that we won, finally. Dan Minigan, you are the LeBron James of this show.
Everybody oh, my God.
Else, I Renewable.
Wow.
Yeah. Your check's in the mail, Coach.
No, I love you guys. I love you guys.
No, apparently you don't.
No, apparently you have
some. Is it a U or an E in Burger when I make the checkout?
Yeah, apparently you're related to him somehow.
Dig that. Hey, I'm telling you this. Dylan Gabriel is Kevin Stefanski as a quarterback. He's going to do just enough to keep his job. He's going to do just enough to say that there's no reason that we can get rid of him, you know. So, and that's what we are stuck with. You can look at him, do his press conferences, the way he plays the game. He's not going to go above and beyond. He's going to stay within himself. He's going to stay even keel. And okay, that's cool. But we need a dart thrower. We need somebody that's going to, you know, get this thing chugging along, and so we can take this pressure off this defense so they can actually play free and play aggressive and strong. And I love everything that we got going as far as building the Browns. Hey, they should bring that show back again. But I love everything about that. But it's just I need more out of our quarterback. I just need him to just give me more so you can just take your reins. And that's all I got.
All right, shout out to the Triceratops, right,
man? Burger.
Shout out to the Triceratops on a shout out Victory Monday.
Ira, do you agree with what he said?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of somebody else that would be.
I wouldn't trade either of you. Don't worry.
That's all right. I don't know.
Luke, and I have no power whatsoever.
I'm trying to think of somebody else.
I'm pretty sure the janitorial staff has more power than I do.
Ira was a nice guy.
I was a great guy. Yeah, I liked him.
So that's Paul Silas. I'm just trying to think.
One of the greatest stories of all time.
I was going to say, that's a Basket of Phelps After Dark story.
We cannot tell the story. I'm glad you guys.
When they let us do this show at about 11 o'clock at night, you'll hear that story.
I couldn't even look at Jeff when I cracked the joke that I knew he wouldn't be able to laugh at. No one else can either because they don't get it. So, sorry. Nope. Inside jokes on radio are really bad.
That's really bad. It is really bad.
But at least you explained it.
I agree with Coach, though.
Yeah.
In this regard.
That you're Ira Newbel?
I want to see the guy bust out. I want to see if he can bust out. Or, you know, is Kevin trying to bring him along to help maximize his opportunities to succeed by, and it's weird because, you know, the guy threw 52 times against Pittsburgh, dropped back 58 times, but it seems like they're not, either he's incapable of it at this point of his career, or they're calling a game that does not allow him to, like, rip it.
I don't know. We're not going to know until they're in a position where they think they can get back in the game and they're going to have to. So let's just say they're down 13 and you're midway through the third.
And you've got to go.
And you've got to go. They haven't really. Mm-mm. I mean, they could have been there against Pittsburgh, but they just kind of chose not to. They took the slow train in that game. Head's still spinning from that one.
Slow train while dropping back 58 times. It was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We should dwell on yesterday rather than a week ago, shouldn't we?
We should. I'm trying to think of other comparable Cavaliers for you. Chris Dudley, but he was way smarter than you.
Oh, I'd love to be, 6'10", a degree from Yale. Thanks.
Yeah, but you were better than him at free throws.
I was.
There's no question you were.
But that's all right. Everybody has a weakness.
Well, that's
Chris's
true.
Was free throws and Kryptonite. Getting elected, apparently.
No, that's true, too. I forgot he ran for office.
Yeah. Wanted to be a senator, didn't he?
Yep, I believe smart enough. There's no question about that.
Absolutely. I'm curious to see when it is, how it is. I think your scenario is correct, Andy. We're not going to see what Dylan can really do until game script says, boy, we got to go.
Have to go.
Yep, got to get it going now.
I'm also interested to see what wide receiver might be able to step up for him.
Are you? Well.
Who's going to get separation?
That's your fingers crossed.
The thing is, I saw separation yesterday. I mean, I could see it, but I'm sitting up high. He's not, you know, so.
Well, if you can see it in the press box and he can't see it on the field, that's a problem.
I don't know. Jeff, you got guys standing directly in front of you. I had no one in front of me.
Yeah, so. I know. That said, I'm not complaining here. I am curious to see what Dylan Sampson can do. And
he had his opportunity at the beginning of the season.
Well, he had one game and he produced. He did.
I think what
he had three carries yesterday and one reception on one target. So they gave him the ball basically four times.
Kevin needs a game for Sampson where it's Judkins 17 carries, Sampson 7-10.
Let me be a bad guy.
Sure.
I'm assuming if they thought that Dylan could really contribute and help them, that he'd be getting the ball more.
Well, not if you're – no, because, I mean, no. They invested a ton. Well, they invested – I don't know.
They've invested more into Judkins. Yeah. Sure.
So, I mean, that's kind of – I mean, you talk about this all the time. He was a third-round pick. He was a fifth-round pick. Well, look at these two guys. Look at the separation there. So, I mean, it's not major, but it's just – it's enough to say giving Judkins the opportunity. And, man, he rewarded them yesterday with three touchdowns.
I'm not arguing about that. I'm glad he got the ball, that Quinchon was given the football, and I think he's a terrific running back. He looks like the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to see if this offense could become a little more dynamic by including a guy with Dylan Sampson's skill set.
He
really hasn't been included since Quinchon's.
Yeah, I know we're talking about running back, but they need to be able to throw the ball to someone other than Fannin and then Njoku when he's healthy. Somebody's got to step out of that wide receiver room that can help this team. I mean, we want it to be Jerry Jeudy. I don't know. You were excited about Malachi Corley?
Again, they threw him two passes yesterday.
I'm like, activate Luke Floria. That's what I keep saying. But
we'll see. I wonder if this team is worth an investment at the trade deadline. And I'll say it for this reason. I'll say yes, if and only if this. If by chance there's some young guy, keyword is young guy, on another team that you maybe didn't get in the draft, that you wanted in the draft, or you think, you know, has just started to scratch the surface of what he might be able to do, and you could pick that guy up for a later round draft choice, then I would, you know, that'd be okay to add to this team. Because you need to add pieces, not for this year, but for this year and beyond. So that wouldn't stun me if they find somebody like that.
Jeff,
Andy, I think they need to do something and see if Isaiah Bond, Malachi Corley, thrash.
Do you want, I can do it when we come back if you want to. I can tell you a way that you can flip the whole season around in the next week.
Well, Andy Baskin with the solution to everything.
It's not the solution. It's just the way you have to look. There's a way to look at things, and if you want to look at this
jot that down so you don't forget what it is.
I already know.
And we'll talk about it next on Baskin and Phelps.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, friends. It's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
My God, you can go ahead and exhale because Baskin.
I'm the highfalutin Jeff Phelps.
Andy Baskin.
I've been holding my breath waiting for all of this, yes.
Mm-hmm. What's highfalutin about waiting to hear you say how you can salvage the rest of the season?
You were salty.
Dan, did he not?
Was he not salty?
Did he not say he has the solution to the rest of the season?
It's not that I have a solution to the rest of the season, but I do have a
way to
look at things. I do have a way to look at things that'll be a little different.
And then you have to give me grief about it. I had nothing to do with it. I was just teeing
you. I had to wait the whole break for you to tell us what's going on.
I was just teeing you up. I was excited.
Guys, what? You ready?
Yeah.
Andy?
Yeah.
How do they salvage the season?
All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you all just to sit back and think about this. Steelers-Packers this week. Yeah. Who do you think is going to win?
Packers.
Packers.
Okay, so the Steelers then suddenly become 4-3.
Though it wouldn't shock me if the Steelers
I didn't ask the next part. I asked you what you said off the top.
Aaron Rodgers is playing Green Bay, dude.
And they could stop
Where is that game? Is that in Green Bay?
I don't know if it matters. I don't think it matters a whole bunch.
No, you got me wondering.
Yeah, I don't know either.
That game is...
He'll get a standing O, and then he'll get bored if it's in Green... Or then get booed if he's in Green Bay. But he'll get a standing O to start if it's in Green Bay.
All right, so again, I go to the same thing. That game is in Pittsburgh. It's in Pittsburgh. Okay. All right, but let's just say, I mean, most of us think Green Bay is going to win that game, right? So now the Steelers are suddenly 4-3.
Pretty crummy.
You would think.
The Bengals have the Jets this week. Does anyone expect the Jets to jump off the
Bengals page? Bengals win that game.
I say the Bengals win that game, too.
Joe Flacco, the revenge game against the Jets.
No, that's exactly right. Oh, it's revenge week, isn't it? I don't know. Oh, and for Vrabel, revenge for the Browns for not hiring.
Mike's really mad that the Browns gave him a landing spot for a year. Hang out with mom and dad.
I mean,
get inducted into the Walsh Jesuit Hall of Fame while I was here.
You tell me in a 17 game schedule, 17 games played in an 18 week schedule, if one team is 4-3, one team is 4-4, and one team is 3-5, do you look at the team that's 3-5 and say they're out of it?
No, they're right there in it.
Not at all.
No.
And that could happen this week. I mean, I'm not trying to be optimistic because we can't afford to be that. But again, that's why I'm putting a lot of faith in this. I'm not putting faith in it. I'm just weighing. Must win is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I hear it all the time. It's just this could be a week where you really flip the psyche of the organization. If you go to 3-5 this week, chances are the teams ahead of you are going to be 4-3 and 4-4. Now, the Steelers could win. And now all of a sudden they're 5-2, but you're still hanging around at 3-5. This is a crucial week for the AFC North. Crucial.
Okay.
That's why I'm just saying it all depends on how you want it. You want to stand in your head and look at it one way? Okay. You want to stand up straight? You can look at it that way too. But if I said to you, Green Bay Steelers, you would say Green Bay, majority of you. So now all of a sudden the Steelers are 4-3. And if I said to you, Bengals, Jets, you would go, oh, Bengals. And then you would go they would be 4-4. And I tell you, hey, the Browns pull off an upset, you know, in Foxborough. And they win this week against New England. They're now suddenly 3-5. Funny how the world looks a lot different than it did on Friday, doesn't it? All it took was one silly little win over the Dolphins. And now you start looking ahead at the schedule. You're like, okay, 3-5 and 4-3. You're only one win behind those guys. Two games in the loss column to the Steelers, but. I mean, we're far from done. Far from done. And, you know, Kevin says we look at each game as a one-week season. Or is that Andrew that says that? I think Andrew says that.
I think it's you now.
No, I think Andrew says that more than Kevin.
I don't know. They all say similar things.
And now all of a sudden, you look back at last Friday and you're like, oh, man. Wow, we really worried about that. I'm still worried about our offense. I don't think our offense is ready for New England, but our defense is going to be, and if you just catch a couple breaks here and they start forcing turnovers again like they did yesterday, then you've got a chance. So, and then the rest of the schedule looks very favorable. I know, can't look at the schedule, can't play the schedule game, hate doing that, but I'm sorry. If Green Bay beats the Steelers this week and you win, you have changed the whole narrative of the franchise. And don't tell me I'm wrong because you know I'm right.
You know what? The scenario you laid out, the least, just on the surface, the least likely thing to happen would be the Browns to go to New England and get a win.
I agree.
So if the Browns can hold up their end of the deal, you're right. All of a sudden,
I'm done. 14 years. Goodbye.
Andy just dropped the mic. Good night, everybody. See you later. No, that's... No, we'll see.
I want to thank my parents. We'll see. Think all the little people out there.
If you're just flat out looking at wins and losses and numbers, you're absolutely right. If you're looking at, it's still not a great football team, even though it has a pretty dang good defense. And then I think it's still a little far-fetched. We'll see. Andy, honestly, the game in New England will be a phenomenal test for this team. It really will. Drake May is a good young quarterback. They have functioning wide receivers. They have enough of a running game. And their defense is fairly solid. They're tough to pass against. They have good DBs. And they have Mike Vrabel. So we'll see how it plays out.
All I know is that you are what Bill Parcells once said.
You are what your record is, or you need to buy the groceries?
Either one of those. No, you are what your record says you are. You are what your record says. It doesn't matter if you're 29th in offense. You know, if your defense is in top three in the league, you got a chance to be something different. So, but that doesn't matter. What matters is your record. They lose on Sunday, then we go back to where we were on Friday. They win on Sunday, now all of a sudden we're like, this thing's not crazy. And guess what?
What?
We're heading into November, and we're still alive. Huh, how about that? With a bye week ahead of you, where good things can happen when you don't play. Or bad things. But I like to look at the good things.
You're that kind of guy.
So I feel I did this to the Guardians. Why can't I will the Browns back to life?
I'm sorry. You're taking credit for the Guardians' run?
Of course I am. You guys were so... how many times did I look at you? I'm like, hey, man, look at this. They got Detroit. They got Detroit coming up. A lot of games against Detroit. I'm not saying they're going to take eight games for them, but...
I will say I thought winning the division was far-fetched, but I thought they could get the wild card.
Who was on that division train? I jumped off the wagon for a while there. When they had that 10-game losing streak, I was ready to play taps for them the next day. And Dan's like, don't do it. Have. I don't think we did.
We didn't?
We talked about it. I don't think we actually did.
I don't know. Time's a flat circle.
A little disrespectful to our service, to our folks in the service, but I'm just saying. It's a little disrespectful.
I'm not touching that one. What a type of football.
Good for you. I'm proud of you on that one.
Thank you.
Because you know I'm right.
It's on the table. I think the Browns thing is on the table.
Yeah, but let's be honest.
I'm not saying we're in it for the long haul, but all of a sudden things look a lot different on Monday next Monday.
It's on a pretty rocky road.
On the defense.
What's rocky road? Look at the teams they have.
It's good ice cream. On the defensive side of the ball, you can look at it and think, yep. Yeah, this team's capable of maybe making a run, even with a win yesterday. Does anything on the offense other than Quinshon Judkins make you think, yeah, this team's capable of putting something together and really getting it going?
Harold Fannin.
I am put in a position because of your affection for Harold, and I mean that. I don't mean that in any
plays
way.
Plays the right position.
I don't.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, everything about him is a Baskin. Tight end.
He's a Mack truck,
guy.
Man.
Mack.
If he was from Euclid, he'd be a Uke.
Don't spend enough time talking about Pudge the Cat.
You're real optimistic. I think he's a young guy who's coming along, which is really good. The only thing on the offense to me that gives me any great confidence is Quinshon Judkins. And other than that, I think we're going to have to see a lot more out of the quarterback. We're going to have to see somebody at wide receiver actually show that they belong in the NFL and to get passes on a regular basis.
Imagine if Jamari Thrash could catch two passes of over 20 yards in one game. What a game changer that would be.
You know, and see, here's the thing. We've talked about this on this show for years. You know, NFL wide receivers go have big games. Does anybody, and Jerry Jeudy's had big games, okay, but does anybody think that any of these wide receivers right now is capable of going out and having a big game? And it's not these guys individual. I just think they neglected the position. And it's such a vital position in today's NFL that was a big mistake on the part of the front office. I feel like
it's been that way for a while. Ray Farmer loved wide receivers.
It's been that way for a good period of time, Andy. Andrew Berry's solution to it has been to go trade for guys. Well, it's kind of worked. Amari Cooper did a nice job here for a while. Jerry Jeudy got traded here and got a nice contract, so good for Jerry. But you know, he's not the JJ you want. You know, the JJ you want is Justin Jefferson. So, and Jerry's not in that category. Although I'm happy to have Jerry on the team, good football player, but I just don't think there's enough on this offense that gives it. That should give anybody the confidence to make you think.
Is it Isaiah Bond? Is he? Isaiah didn't have one target yesterday. So I mean,
well,
is it Isaiah Bond?
I wonder why. Honestly, I think Bond is intriguing
because I think the last target hit him in the head because he wasn't looking for the football.
That can be frowned upon. I think Thrash is an interesting guy. Let's just see what he gets. And I already told you what I think of Malachi Corley, but there are three guys that you think, yeah, it'd be nice to get them the ball. But we don't have confidence that any one of them is going to be a stud. And that's a tough way to win in the NFL. Take a look at Green Bay. Green Bay has 5-6 wide receivers. Take a look at Kansas City. And they keep rolling guys out. Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, Tyquan Thornton. I mean, they've got five guys that I would take over anybody on our team except maybe Jerry Jeudy. I mean, that's the difference. Those positions weren't neglected on those teams, and I think it was neglected here. And now our fingers are crossed that somebody steps up. Kevin Stefanski's press conference about 6 minutes away, and we'll have it for you right here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, friends. It's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.